Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
And welcome back to Gotham Watch. We're on episode 4 here of Gotham Watch, and today we'll be reviewing Rise of the Villains, Sacrification. With me, as always, is Ankebauer. Ankebauer, say hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So we got quite a bit to cover, so I guess we'll get right into the episode. My first scene this week was kind of an awkward and funny one, was the Enigma / Gordon dinner party, where Enigma basically asks if they can go out on a double date because he's now seeing Kristen and what's her name?
Lee.
Gordon's girlfriend says, "Sure, you come on over my place." So they end up having a dinner party.
And he says, "No, not at your place. Now we're trapped."
Exactly. He's like, "Damn, we can't leave. Son of a bitch." So it's kind of funny. Real funny to see. Kind of weird to see Enigma acting normal.
Well, yeah, I think even Lee says he's got a weird sense of cool.
Right. So, you know, and so it was just that it was maybe not much as far as substance, as far as storyline is concerned. But they could play off of it later, right? That, you know, they're friends and something happens. So it could play off something later. But for now, just kind of funny to see the Riddler and Gordon sitting at the same table and actually having a good time.
Well, I think it is. It's odd, right? Because, like,
right.
Now Gordon's friends with the Penguin.
Right. Well,
but that's kind of falling apart. And he's friends with Selina.
Yeah.
And now he's friends with the Riddler. Like, holy crap. This guy picks bad friends.
It's probably a good thing that Gotham won't go to the Batman, right? Serious, because that would get a little awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brian, what was your first scene?
The first scene, I think, was one of the memorable ones, is the Merc, the Walmart, if you will, of the bad guy shopping supplies.
Yeah.
You know.
Sam Club, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, it's, you know, welcome to the Merc or whatever. And he's like, you can hear the recording over the intercom system. It says, "Your one-stop shop for machetes, night vision goggles, and all your personal defense needs." You know, and like it says, AK-47s half off and,
yep,
you know, all that stuff. And one of the Pipe Brothers, happen to be they love flames, you know, they're the ones that torch things, they're professionals.
Wow.
Well, anyway, one of them is there, and after buying all of his stuff, he's walking down the aisle, and he sees C4, and he shoves it down his pants. You know, and all of a sudden, the GCPD comes in, and, you know, he takes off out the back, and they're like, "Oh, after him, you know, not even knowing who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he pulls a gun, and you know it's going to happen, but they shoot and they fire, right?
Right.
And then he blows up. Because for some reason, two things happen. One, I'm not sure why they needed to shoot 5 times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they both laid into him, like, 5 times. And then the second thing is, why are they shooting him in his cock?
Apparently they would go to the Stormtrooper Academy of
because I mean, it's like they shot him 5 times to begin with, and then they shot him. It was like, okay, but yeah. Anyway, he ends up blowing up, and then whatchamacallit, ask him. He goes, "What are you packing?"
Yeah, I like this scene. It was it was fun. The end of it was funny to me. Morbidly funny, but funny. The Merc, all I could think of when they were showing the Merc, I'm like, only in Gotham, right, can you have a Walmart of you know, black market Walmart, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it wasn't small either.
No, no, it was like Sam's Club huge or Costco, you know?
Yeah, it was even set up the same way where you think you'd have to have like a forklift to get to the second and third shelves.
Yeah, you know, it's like I was expecting to see a tank or something.
Right, exactly.
It's just come up next or something. But yeah, it was like a weapons depot. Yeah, so good scene, funny scene, a little bit funny anyway, more like I said, morbidly funny. So it was interesting, but it gives you kind of a feel for, you know, how bad Gotham is, right? Because, you know, you have a black mark, an open black market, you know, Walmart or Costco, Sam's Club, of weapons depot. So,
right, it's almost like, you know, the cops had turned an eye for so long,
yeah,
that the bad guys were able to set up their own shop.
Yeah, I mean, just and you know, almost in broad daylight. I mean, it's in a warehouse, but. It seems like anybody can get there, right? So
yep. And even the store clerk was like, you know, there's a 10% surcharge for bills with their soiled bills.
Soiled bills, yeah.
Because he was gonna pay. He was paying with the bloody money.
I was like, man. So yeah, that just shows you. I mean, if you think crime is bad where you live, then it's nothing compared to what's going on in fictional Gotham there. So, all right. Well, my next scene that I picked was the Wayne knife and the Wayne Dumas. We find out Family Feud, right? So,
the Wayne and Dumbass Feud.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking too. I kept thinking of that commercial the whole time. They're using Dumas. I'm like, oh yeah, God, yeah. Mr. Dumbass. So yeah, we find out that apparently Gallivant is that's his name, right?
Yeah, uh-huh, Gallivant.
Yeah, that Gallivant, actually, his family name used to be Dumas, and that there were five founding families of Gotham, and that the Dumases and the Waynes were two of them, the Waynes being the most powerful. Apparently a female Wayne back in, I'm going to assume, the late 1700s, early 1800s, because I can't remember the date they used.
Yeah, I don't remember the date either.
Yeah, but I guess there was a Dumas boy and a Wayne girl, and I guess they went off into a room somewhere. She claimed that he attacked her, and they end up cutting this guy's arm off with this knife. And basically, the Waynes go further and wipe the Dumas name from Gotham, right? Everywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Basically deleting them from Gotham history. So this sets up the whole Gallivant's reason for coming back to Gotham, and you know, obviously wanting his revenge.
Yeah, he continues to rant and rave about, you know, we were done wrong and my forefathers and blah blah blah, and
right.
You know, we're seeing the backstory of this story that really actually isn't that entertaining yet anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at least we finally got some substance, you know, because I think Brian and I are still coming down off the Joker or the I'll just call him the pre-Joker, I guess. I don't know what you call him. Anyway, I'm calling him the Joker. I don't care. Jerome being killed off. It was good to see. It was nice to see a little bit of backstory. We finally get to find out kind of what the motivating factor is, and so we know what's, you know, why Gallivant's here. He's no longer so mysterious, I suppose, which I don't know if this early in the season if that's a good thing or not. Brian, what'd you think?
I think it is. We get that backstory of, instead of him just always talking about his forefathers and, you know, we built Gotham and all this and that, we're actually seeing that, yes, you know, it was one of the founding families. I think it was interesting, though, that they didn't mention who the other families were.
Mm.
They only mentioned the Waynes and the Dumas. You know, and later in the episode, we find out, you know, that Gallivant's not even a main person. He's just a puppet.
Right.
You know, and it's just... it goes to the whole thing of, you know, we were hoping that Gallivant was going to be this big villain, and I'm not sure he's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but yeah, we don't know at the end there's another character is introduced. We'll get to that later, but yeah, I'm not sure now if he is the main guy or if he's just maybe the head of a particular house of the family, maybe. You know, maybe a leader, but not the main driver, right? He may not be the one behind it all yet, so we'll have to wait and see there. All right, so Brian, what was your number two scene, sir?
My next scene was the character that's going to be we were introduced in this episode, and the next episode seems to be from the preview looks as if it's going to focus around is Firefly.
Hmm.
So Firefly in Gotham turns out to be the, I'm going to call her a half sister.
Yeah, sounds like she was kind of kidnapped or something, but yeah.
Yeah, like it sounds like the her mom and their dad were together, so she was just kind of brought into the family.
Stepsister, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, stepsister, but like they're not related at all. With who I'm talking about is Bridget, mm-hmm. and the Pipe Brothers. Which is the same one of the brothers got blown up in the beginning of the episode, which pulls the need for them to bring in Bridget because they need somebody to be able to get into a job that they're doing when they steal the knife for Penguin. Mm. So my scene though that I really liked was when she was pulling out all the stuff out of the box. She pulled out the flamethrower, she pulled out the flame retardant material, and she, you know, you could see her thinking like, I could make this into a you know, like a suit type thing. And then she puts her hand down on the wax paper, you know, to make the outline of her hand for the sewing pattern, and but she ends up becoming Firefly when she comes out of the van there. She adjusted the mask to look more like a fly, where it has the two eyes,
right?
You know, it does look kind of cool to be that. But what I find very odd is that in the comics, Firefly was a guy.
So Gotham's taking more liberties yet again. Yeah,
yeah, they're going off the reservation a little bit. Mm-hmm. Although this fits, I think this fits with the storyline a little bit. It allows Firefly to work together with Selina, which brings Catwoman back into the picture a little bit, which I think is why they did it.
Yeah.
I think if it was the guy, you wouldn't, there's to be no reason for Selina to be in more episodes, which I think a lot of fans of the show enjoy having Selina on there because they know who she is.
Yeah, I thought when she was putting when they had the scene with Selina and she's kind of putting her outfit together was maybe I'm just reaching here, but it was kind of a nod back to I guess it was the second Batman Returns back in the 80s, where you see Selina Kyle kind of making her her Catwoman outfit, kind of similar, like, you know, she's kind of doing the same thing. She's sewing her outfit, which is leather and looks really good at the time. So you kind of see Selina kind of looking at her and kind of almost like taking notes almost as how she's putting this together, even though they're having a conversation at the same time. So I thought it was kind of a nice nod back to that.
I didn't even think about being as a precursor, mm-hmm. to Catwoman putting together her outfit.
Right.
But yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, like she's, you know, it's like, oh, you know, she's kind of, not that she knows she's going to be a Catwoman yet, but, you know, she's kind of watching her do this, and she's thinking she's kind of nuts right now, but obviously it might help her later, right, kind of thing. So I also thought Firefly, you know, was a little clumsy in this one at the end. obviously she's new to the whole thing, so she's not quite Firefly quite yet.
Really. Right, and the fact that I think that we watched the transformation into Firefly, because when she fumbles around, she's just trying to get free. She's not actually really trying to catch the guy on fire.
Yeah.
So I think that it's more of like when she does catch him on fire, she doesn't continue to flame him up. He's just on fire and he runs away, and she runs the opposite direction.
Right.
So I think it was kind of like a she didn't mean to do it,
mm-hmm.
but now all of a sudden the GCPD thinks
she killed him. Well, she
killed
did.
Him on purpose, and right. you know, and right. everything else. And so I think that's how she gets the going forward. You know, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, because in the next episode you kind of see her with even without her mask on.
Yeah,
the flamethrower. So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the point of no return for her. You know, because she ends up killing the cop, and you know now she's on the. There's no turning back. I mean, mm-hmm. she can't go back to being just Bridget now. Now she has to be Firefly. So,
yeah,
I think in the next episode we'll see her a little bit more. You know, more of a bad person, maybe. Well, maybe not completely fleshed out, but you know, kind of being on the wrong side, so to speak. So
right,
yeah. So yeah, it was a good scene, Brian, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with this. Hopefully, it won't be another a one-off situation, you know. So
right,
yep. We'll see. So okay, so get to into my favorite scene. My favorite scene from this was Penguin and Butch making plans. So Penguin calls Butch in, and you know, obviously they still have his mother. He's still Penguin's still erratic, and then. But he calls Butch in, and Butch, he's like, take a drink. And he has to take a drink because Butch has been programmed to do whatever Penguin tells him because of what was that character's name that brainwashed him, Brian? The bald-headed guy.
To be honest, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about, but
yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyway, the crazy bald-headed guy. Victor
Zsasz?
Victor Zsasz, thank you. Yeah, who programmed... poor Butch here. So anything that Penguin says, he has to do. So he keeps getting him to take drinks of liquor. And I knew something was coming. I just didn't know what. So so they start talking about how they're going to plant Butch in Gallivan's party, right? And how he's going to earn into his organization. And Butch is like, well, I just don't know how we're going to make. How's this gonna work, boss? You know, he's like, and Penguin's like, well, we'll make him sympathetic. And Butch is like, well, how are we gonna make him sympathetic? And all of a sudden, Penguin grabs Butch's hand, pulls out a butcher knife, and wham, cuts it right off. And you hear Butch screaming. For me, it was like a holy shit moment because I just didn't see him cutting off his hand. I don't know, Brian, did you see that coming?
No, didn't see that coming at all. This was probably my favorite scene in the whole show.
Mm.
You know, just to watch Penguin, you can see him twisting and turning, and you can see the thought process through his head, and he's explaining, like, you know, it came to me when, what was her name? Ed Witch, or whatever, like the lady's name was, you know, she kind of gave me the idea.
Right.
And he's like, gave you what idea? And all of a sudden, yeah, he pulls out that butcher knife and chops his hand off. And I'm like, well, first of all, three shots isn't going to do crap, you know, to make me not feel the pain of that.
Exactly.
But you can't just watch him get drunk over the course of the show. But I thought it was weird that why would you do that to... The one guy you say you can trust in your organization or whatever.
I think that's why he did. One of the other reasons I love this scene so much is because we get to see Penguin be just cool and calculated. Because Butch has to do everything he says, he's the one guy he can plant in Gallivan's organization and trust him to give him the information he wants to be the turncoat. To be the spy that he wants. But the fact that he went about psychotically going about cutting off his hand or part of his arm. That was crazy. I thought the scene was perfect for Penguin for the Penguin character. Yeah, he's psychotic and he's crazy, but he's also calculated. He's trying to beat Gallivant. Now that he's calmed down a little bit, because last episode we see him real frantic and just kind of doing whatever Gallivant tells him to do. Now we're seeing him go back.
Well,
being,
he even still was in this episode too.
Yeah, he was, but by the end of the episode, this shows that he's starting to think. He's going to try to outplay Gallivant. He's going to try to outthink.
Oh, it. I think I think he realized that after in the beginning of this episode, or near the beginning of the episode, we see Penguin in Gallivant's office or whatever, and he says, "Now that I've done your bidding or whatever," he says, "Hey, friend, you know, thanks for your help or whatever." And he's like, "Well, I'm glad you called me a friend." And Gallivant's like, "Well, it's a figure of speech."
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and he just keeps every time you can just tell Penguin, and he's like, "Well, you know, because I think we are friends, and I think you know, since I've done what you said, you can let my mom go, and you know, I'll still do what you want." And Gallivant's like, "Nope." And he's like, "Well, you know, I think I'd be better as your friend." He goes, rather than a tool.
Yeah,
know?
I mean,
and he's like, "Well, I could still be your tool, and I think you'd get more out of me because I wouldn't be focused on my mother." And he's like, "No." You know, and Penguin right there realizes, you know, you can't reason with these guys the same way he was reasoning with the mob.
Right, exactly. And now it's time to use a different tactic, and he found his way in when he got the Wayne knife history, and that's when he formulated his plan. Yeah, so, yeah, great, great scene. Awesome to see the Penguin. Perfect, well-written, well-done. You know, way to go, Gotham writers, to really use the Penguin well, in my opinion. So, so Brian, what was your number one scene, sir?
My last scene is not so much my favorite scene. Obviously, I really like the Penguin scene.
Yeah, sorry, I stole that from you.
That's okay. But the other scene that I think everybody needed was to see, if they didn't get the chance to watch it, would have been the guy in the cloak. We saw him in the preview, and everybody's like, you know, who was the guy in the cloak? You know, what did he have to do with Cho? You know, who is he? What characters are he going to play? Well, we find out in this episode that he's Father Creel. Gallivant obviously knows him, and he's like, "Oh, Father Creel," you know, and you could tell that there's a master apprentice type atmosphere going on, like, because Creel basically is, you know, he doesn't have to say anything, and Gallivant, all of a sudden, you can see his whole tone change, and he's like, "Father Creel, thank you for coming," and he's like, you know, "You've surrounded yourself with wealth," and he's like, "But I had to in order to get this, you know, to put things in place," and you know, you can tell it's like one of those, like, almost like a monk type atmosphere, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, where you're supposed to get rid of everything that's, you know, you're only supposed to go with things of God and everything else. That's kind of how I got the feeling this is going to play out. That Gallivant is just one of the monks in the situation. Father Creel is the leader. And they even talked about it, that they had, when the guy Dumas got excommunicated overseas, he also took with him the Sacred Brotherhood that was founded with his family.
Right.
And you kind of see, like, the what appears to me as, like, maybe the Crusaders behind him, leaving with him.
They right.
Had the white cloaks with the red cross. Well, anyway, in this scene, we find out that they're after the Wayne boy, which we knew that's what was going to come. That it was the Dumas versus the Waynes, and we knew that that's what they were ultimately going to be, was to take down the Waynes. They're taking out all the Wayne buildings, kind of like how they were destroyed, you know, back in the day. But the creepy monk says the day of redemption is near. You know, our brothers are crossing the ocean now. Warriors like the city has never known, and Gotham will be redeemed in blood, and Bruce Wayne will die. That's how they ended the episode.
Yeah.
It was that's definitely a scene that you need to know has happened. So you can, down the road, you're going to know what's happening. But I kind of get the feeling that, much like the Crusades happen, and, you know, they went through and they demolished a lot of places for religious purposes. I think that's what you're going to see here, is that this brotherhood of the Dumas family is going to come over here and they're going to attack in the name of Dumas.
Yeah, it seems like this Sacred Brotherhood has a lot of it. It's like they're trying to give it that Illuminati kind of feel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're coming back to Gotham to cleanse Gotham from their point of view, and
yep.
to restore the Dumases and to restore Gotham. They're there to save Gotham, but obviously they're not going to save Gotham like Gordon or Batman would. They're there to
well, because in their mind, Waynes are the bad guys,
are the evil, right? So, and that they need to purge not just Bruce Wayne, but to, you know, clean up Gotham and restore Dumas. And so, you know, I'm not sure if Galavant is just a monk, or if Galavant is a Dumas, or if the priest is a Dumas also, or if he's just just part of this brotherhood that works with the Dumases. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's the real power, right? The the monks just using the Dumases to gain something for their purpose? You know, what's going on here? Is it all, you know, is it tied together? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see what characters they introduce as part of this Warriors of the Sacred Brotherhood. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they come up with. So, you know, Gotham's kind of thrown in the whole conspiracy theory of the Illuminati, almost kind of like there's a an elite group of people in the world that rule the world, right? You know, the whole elite status. They're throwing all those conspiracy theories into the mix. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Brian? Do you think it's more of Illuminati, or do you think it's maybe something else?
I wouldn't say Illuminati. Illuminati is more of like a one world order.
Yeah.
I think this is more like a secret society.
Okay.
More so of a I know the name of it is the Order of the Owl or something. It played a big part in the comics. Not so much in the TV series or movies, but in the comics there was this Order of the Owl or Society of the Owl or Owl Society. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, but I did read about it. And apparently it was a secret society of some kind of power that Batman and Gotham fought against.
Mm.
And the creator, one of the writers, of the main writers of the show, or producer of the show, said that they will become a part of the show this season.
Mm.
So I'm kind of thinking that that's what we're going to what they're going to play on.
Yeah.
In that, basically, you're just looking at this blood feud between the Dumas and Wayne family, and they feel that Gotham is basically Wayne. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Since they were one of the most powerful family, that basically everything that Gotham has become is a symbol of Wayne Enterprises and the Wayne family crest, and that's what needs to be wiped clean and built back up. I mean, even the city plans that Galavant showed Penguin.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it was all lit up and all light, and almost as if the Dumas was the light that was going to save Gotham.
Mm.
You know, like it was this great central city of enlightenment that was going to come. Otherwise, you know, it didn't fit into the rest of the plans. It showed Gotham, it's all dark. Everything was almost to scale and everything else, and it looked real dark and everything else. Right in the center was this giant tower of light, you know, which
right.
could be this Father Creo figure, their whole Sacred Brotherhood, you know, being of the Enlightenment part. I don't know.
No, that's a good thought. I mean, maybe they're more like a crusader version of the League of Shadows, like we saw in Dark Knight, right? they're there to, yep, you know, restore. So, really good scene, definitely a critical scene, and it's a good thing you brought it up. So, yeah, for anybody who hasn't seen it, definitely worth – you absolutely have to watch it because it's definitely setting up everything that's going to happen next, right? So, all right, guys. Well, pretty good show. So time for final thoughts. All right. My final thought for this episode. I thought it was a decent episode, a good episode. We got some backstory, obviously. We just talked about it, the Dumas Gallivant relationship to the Wayne family and Gotham. It continues to kind of thickens the plot. We finally see Selina used in a new story with the Firefly. You know, not, since she's no longer just the bad girl in Bruce's life. We're starting to see them include her and, you know, kind of develop her character out a little bit. Yeah, Firefly so far a little bit awkward, a little bit cheesy maybe. But I'd take that back. I'd say it's more rough around the edges. Because they're still developing her. And like I said, hopefully it's not a one-off situation. Hopefully, you know, she sticks around for a while. You know, because I'm still in the Joker lol thing. So the question for next week is what's up with the priest? And we talked all about that and our feelings about that. But where's it going to go? Where's it going to go next? So, I mean, overall, I'm going to give this maybe a B minus to a B plus overall. That's kind of where I thought this episode kind of fell. So, Brian, what's your final thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I the B minus to a B plus is definitely a reasonable grade. I gave the episode a C plus to a B minus, which I was just right there behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still having a hard time with this Gallivant character being the main villain.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, we were off on such a high after having the Joker. You know, we're thinking Joker, we're thinking Harley Quinn, we're thinking, you know, how great the show's going to be when we get Gallivant. And now Gallivant, we're getting a backstory on him at least, but now we're knowing that, you know, it's based way in the past. And we're like,
right,
oh my gosh, come on, let's, well, you know, it didn't move very fast this episode. There were parts that went really fast. There were parts that were really well written.
Yeah.
Like the Penguin's turn to paranoia, brilliant. Mm. You know, that actor plays the part tremendously.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I mean, throughout the whole episode, you watched him turn that paranoia, like a switch turned on. You know, he beat up the one guy in the very beginning of it, and he had that look on his face like he caught himself, like, ooh, what am I doing? Kind of thing. But I feel adding Gallivant into this, getting that character, has taken away what we were enjoying about the series, which was watching these characters and figuring out who does that person become, you know, who does this person become,
right?
You know, and seeing those, how they grew up with the development of that character, you know, like we're watching with the Penguin, like we watched with the Joker, we're watching with Selina, you know, which with Catwoman or the Riddler, and I think adding these characters of the Gallivants and the Dumas and the Brotherhood or whatever, I think it's taking away from the stuff that we know as far as going off the comics that we know and off of the TV shows and the movies that we know. I believe the Owl Society, I'm just gonna call them Owl Society, I believe they came, it's more of a recent development in the Batman series. More so than a, you know, the original Batman, True Detectives, comic line.
Right.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's a? What do you think about that, Brian?
What's that? Adding the owls?
Yeah, I mean, like adding the new characters in. I mean, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't have a problem with it. I just think, I how they started off the season and how much of a high they got us going with the Joker, and then they took it away and replaced it with this, I think may not have been the best idea, I think, for developing it, right? I don't think killing off the Joker did anything to further the Galavant character, to show that he's, you know, more devious or whatever at all. I still don't understand why they did that. It was like a ratings ploy almost to get everybody to tune in, and now they're introducing this. They've been better off either putting, you know, sending Jerome away or not even using him right now.
I think going forward with this
storyline, you know.
I definitely agree with that. Like, it didn't make sense. They didn't even have to kill him off.
No.
Because all he needed to become the hero.
Yeah.
And he needed for the villain, per se, to be defeated. So all he would really had to do was capture the Joker.
Yep.
And he, all of a sudden, he's saving the day, right? And then have his sister break the Joker out of jail.
Or
and then we could have not seen him for many episodes.
Yeah.
We would have gotten the same reaction that we had by him being killed.
Or just leave him in, or at the very least, leave him in Arkham. He gets sent away to prison somewhere far away. Who cares? Shipwrecked on an island. I don't care. But yeah, it was just, I don't understand. Maybe it has something to do with an episode down the road, you know, that are going to tie it back in somehow. But I still just don't understand why they did it the way they did it. It was just, like I said, it was like something to grab onto us and get our attention, you know. And I was already a fan of the show before they did it anyway, and a lot of people were. So, yeah, I know we're still on this low, and it's really just kind of hovering and hanging. I can't rectify it in my mind why they did it the way they did it. I don't know. You know, why do that? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll figure it out down the road. They'll say, you know, it'll all make sense by the end of the season. Maybe we'll go back and say, oh, okay, this is why we went through so much, you know, so much turmoil, you know. So.
Yeah, this is why we went through three shows of lows.
Kind of, yeah. I think it's probably what kept my rating of this episode down a little bit. And
oh, it definitely did.
You know, so... But yeah, so I you know, I'm sticking with the show. I still love the show, and I still think it's great. It's awesome. It's worth watching the show just for Penguin, in my opinion. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where we go next. And let's just hope, like I said, they'll give us the answers we're looking for somewhere down the road, right? So
yeah, I hope so.
All right, so where can you find us? You can find us on Four Midwest Guys. You can find more Four Midwest Guys on facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can find us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys, and you can also reach us via email, the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what we're doing right, what we're not doing right, what you like about Gotham Watch, not just Gotham Watch, but our wrestling specials. We now have Rebels Recon out there, which is Star Wars Rebels review. We have the flagship show. We just did a Wes Craven tribute show. Reach out to us. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like, and because we really.
If you have any ideas of what you want us to do.
Exactly. Yeah. If there's something that you say, we would love to hear you guys talk about this or do this. Give us suggestions. We're looking for feedback desperately. We can grade ourselves, guys, but we can only go so far with that. So it's always good to have an outside perspective and somebody and a fan to tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. So kind of like what we're doing for Gotham right now. So, yeah. All right. Well, Brian, it's been a great show. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Yep.
All right. And this is for B. Willie. We'll catch you next time on Gotham Watch.